Our first reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, where Jesus calls his first disciples. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signalled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. And our second rather startling reading is from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. It's about Isaiah's commission. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried, 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. 'In this is the word of the Lord.'"
Thank you, Joan, for sharing with us those readings. Today I want to focus particularly on the second reading, that from Isaiah. And that passage of Scripture is the commission of Isaiah to be a prophet, the call of Isaiah to begin the ministry of prophecy. It's a weird vision, winged creatures, smoke filling the place. But just for a moment, Isaiah gets this insight into the heavenly realm, into the presence of the Almighty. There was smoke, there were winged creatures, They were singing. They were flying. They had six wings, apparently. There was something like an earth-moving experience. And then there was the realization that this was a holy moment. This was a holy moment. There was a time of confession and forgiveness. That God was present. That God was present in the temple, in the sanctuary. And God was looking for someone to go and share a message. Is that your expectation and experience every time you come to worship? The ground shaking? The place being filled with smoke? Winged creatures flying all around the place? You can be winged creatures this morning. Does the earth move for you? Do you see smoke billowing out of the piano? Or the speakers or the lights? Hope not. We'd be in trouble. Do you get the feeling of utter unworthiness when you come into church sometimes? In comparison to the Almighty God? Do you ever feel like a hot coal is taken from a fire and placed on your lips and declared clean and forgiven in order to cleanse and heal and to renew you? Do you hear God speak in the booming God voice or the quiet whisper? Do you put your hands in the air and say, "Here I am, Lord. Send me, for I will go." While we may not all share that experience every week in worship, we can learn a lot from this portion of Scripture about worship. For worship, what it ought to be and should be, is about being in the presence of God. It's acknowledging God and saying thank you to God and being encouraged and enthused and equipped to leave this place and to go back into the world, into our week, and to engage in ministry. So Isaiah 6, the call of Isaiah, is a great collection of verses that give us, I think, the bones or the form for worship, an order for worship, a structure, if you like. Same as we are taught how to pray when Jesus teaches us to pray the Lord's Prayer. It's a structure or a form, not legalism, but a form and a structure or a way to worship. Now, I've been at Moriata for nearly a year. Some would say that's great. Some might say that's too long. Some might say not long enough. But anyway, I moved here in August, well, started my first Sunday in August, so it's nearly 12 months. And today you might actually learn something from me. Or maybe you've already known what I'm about to say because it's been so freely explained every week. Maybe you already know the form of worship. But today, I hope that after today, we will go away from this place with one or two things fresh in our minds. In most of the services that we've been conducting here has form or structure, sometimes loosely applied and sometimes more rigidly applied. The first movement in worship is coming into or recognizing the presence of God intentionally. And so we express our gratitude and our praise to the Almighty God. And secondly, we realize or we acknowledge that compared to God, I am but a worm or something less. But you know, worms are even created by God and loved by God. They might not be the most intelligent species, but they're useful and still loved. And so are we. And so am I, even if I think I'm a worm. But at that moment, there is a confession and a moment of forgiveness where we allow God to reach into us and to bring freshness out of us, to cleanse, to restore. The coal from the fire is taken and placed on our lips, and we are declared clean. The next movement is hearing God's word expounded and expressed. And finally, there comes a sense of mission that we are sent out from this place into our coming week, into our daily lives, whatever and wherever that might be. And all that is found in Isaiah chapter 6. And if we look carefully at the first reading that Joan shared with us, there's a similarity in the call of the disciples in the fishing expedition. Peter and the disciples were with Jesus, the presence of God in Christ. The experience of the catch of fish was an amazement. Oh, look at the amount of fish we got. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes, get excited. Oh, we're overwhelmed. Praise and thanks. And then at the moment, Peter then says, "Get away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful person. I'm not worthy to be here in your presence," in other words. And then Jesus offers a word of confession and forgiveness and restoration. And then there's the call. Disciples, go and catch human fish. Human calamari. Human snapper. Human whiting. And so on. And the disciples leave their boats and they engage in ministry into the world. Similar to the call of Isaiah. So praise in its basic form is telling God, "God, you're good. Thank you. Wonderful, almighty, spectacular, good stuff." Or in colloquial youth language today, "You're sick." Or "wicked." But to me, it'll be, "Thanks God, you're awesome. Yet I don't deserve to be in the presence of God. Because I think to myself, I'm no way good enough. I'm that worm that I explained. I have bad thoughts. I have a past. And my present is not much better either. My life doesn't come anywhere near the toenails of God. So I'm out of here. I'm not going to hang around." Isaiah says, "Woe is me. I'm a ruined man." And Peter says, "Get away from me, Lord. I'm not worthy." But it's at that point that grace, love, compassion reaches in. The creature takes a hot coal from the fire and touches the lips, cleansing symbolically. Jesus says to the disciples in a forgiving way, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." John Newton writes in that hymn that we all know so well, "I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." God says, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. You've been made clean." Friends, that's confession. That's confession. That's forgiveness, absolution, all rolled into one. It's like God comes up to you and throws God's arms around you and says, "Hey, it's all right. It's okay. You're fine." Next, we hear God's word read through Scripture. We hear the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus. We do this because Jesus is the Word of God. We read in the beginning of John's gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So in Jesus, we know and we feel and we see and we hear and we experience the very presence of God in Christ. And we hear God's message for us today, primarily through the reading of the Scriptures. In its sermons we're preached about, we sing it, we sometimes even discuss it in home groups and study groups and even in church. But the Word of God should challenge us to a response, to be different, to live reflecting the very life of Jesus. So we have the flow of worship, of praise, of thanksgiving, of confession, and of listening to the Word. And then the challenge. What are we going to do about it? Who shall go? Whom shall I send? You see, Isaiah and Peter were both called. In the midst of the presence of God comes the call to go out, to go and engage in ministry, to go into the unknown, to venture forward. See, our worship is not just a feel-good time of getting together, a time of personal fulfillment. But it's like a recharge. We plug our phone or whatever device in overnight because it's gone flat, and in the morning it's recharged again, and we go on our day. We come into worship in order to be recharged and fed around the Word, around the sacraments, around fellowship and communion, and with each other. In our worship, we should experience this sense of awe and majesty, both communal and individually. Praise, a time of confession, forgiveness, hearing God's word of grace and love, and being challenged and invited to being sent out. So our worship shouldn't stop here. It should continue. Worship should continue as service. Worship as love. Worship as forgiveness. As spiritual and personal development. As prophetic and evangelical. Worship as grace bearers. So from Isaiah we learn that our worship does have form. It has structure and it has purpose. And like Isaiah and Peter, we are challenged and invited to listen to these questions and let them sit in your head. In what way does our worship challenge us, motivate us, invite us? In what way does the encounter with the holy through worship encourage you? Encourage you. In what way does the encounter with the holy equip you and equip us for further ministry and service within our community and beyond? In what way does the Almighty speak and we listen and we say, "Here I am, send me, for I will go"?